We dedicate our share, as always, to Zechem Nishras HaKadosh M'shanaf L'Akidus Hashem. And unfortunately, our soldiers that continue to die, to the hostages who unfortunately have not yet been freed. And the only besides Tov Zeshuas and the Chamas in impeding wars from all different sides, we should recognize the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom is always going to be on our side. And then Amir Tzashem, Yeshuas Hashem, Keheref Ayin. Rav Zilberstein's weekly share, this was the last year until Hey Iyar, he said. So I'll give you some important and interesting shilos that kind of revolve around the same idea about owning chametz. These are all questions about chametz in itself. This is a very interesting question. We'll have to get to a little bit of the details are not so clear because I'm being honest with you. I heard this year that the Rav Zilberstein gave on Monday night, and a lot of people fought with him about the metzias of it. Let's say you own a pharmacy, not a mucheder pharmacy. You own an Arthur's pharmacy. Yeah, you've heard. So you go to Arthur's pharmacy, and over Pesach, so there is a shaila in general about what's the status of medicine on Pesach. Are you allowed to take any medicine that you want? You have to look into it. So here in Eretz Yisrael, we're very zeicha that all the medicines have been looked up, and if you go to the pharmacy, even Ahmed behind the counter is going to tell you, he's going to, he won't even let you, this is for Pesach, I can't take it. Fine, for Id al-Fayid, whatever it's called now, maybe he'll let you do that, but not for Pesach. They have hashkachas and everything, they know everything. So the question is, just before we get to the pharmacy question, do medicines need hashkacha? So there's a wonderful WhatsApp group that was created, I don't know if you saw, with Rav Bagno, that has Shailos V'Tshuvos. I created it. And there's some really cute questions that are going back and forth. So somebody asked this question. So Rav Bagno said, which I think is the normative halacha, that any medicine that has absolutely no taste to it, which is medicines, I'm talking about medicines that you're just going to swallow, you're going to take a pill, those probably don't need any sort of hashgacha. There was a whole shaila when gel caps came out. Gel caps is very popular. They're, like Tylenol gel caps. And they have gelatin because it helps, it's easier for people to swallow. There are people, especially kids, who, I have a child like this, not Yonatan, who still drinks. They can't take a pill. There are some people who still, they're adults who can't take pills. They can't swallow pills. So what do? They have chewables. So what's the idea for you to take the chewable? They make it taste good. So that's a shiloh b'chalal and kashrus itself. You're going to have very berry flavor. Or grape flavor, and maybe the grapes from real grapes that are artificially, or it has gelatin in it, and all these different things, would it be mutter? So if it's just a gel cap, there are poiskim who say, so that's just going down your throat, that's not a problem, that may be mutter. The gelatin shaila in general is a machlekes here in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim Oizer famously matured it, Panim Chadoshus Balakan, maybe it's not something that's also, we generally, certainly the Ashkenazim hold, and this is something you have to be very careful with in Eretz Yisrael. For example, if you hold from just a regular rabbinate hashkacha, it's possible that certain types of candies will certainly have gelatin in them. You have to be very careful. Besides kashrus problems over Pesach, because most of them have corn syrup or kitnios, so you have to be careful when you're looting a hashkacha. You could spend, we always have a minhug in my family, no matter what, every year we eat kitnios on Pesach. We don't do it on purpose. We always find something that may be a problem in itself. I remember years ago, I don't know, Yonatan, if you remember this terrible story. This is work. Kitnios is bad enough. But one of my favorite pastimes was they sell the Pesachsman, the mix, Pesachsman, Kef, and the Kupelet, three. And there was one year where it was kosher to Pesach. Now, for some reason, only the Mekupelet is, it's not, whatever, according to Sanan, it's kosher lePesach, laftit, it has canola oil in it, and the other ones, they say, have kitniotas, which I don't really believe, but whatever, maybe it does, I'm not sure. It used to be it was kosher lePesach. So we went to a local supermarket, I'm not going to mention the name, but it's really the best supermarket, and and in that best supermarket, they sold it, and it was in the Pesach section. And it just sometimes takes you a while. So, and in that supermarket, they sold it, and they made the mistake. Not me, of course. I would never make a mistake. And one of my kids they noticed. So, one of the beautiful things about here in Eretz Yisrael, that anything that is kosher for Pesach that looks like the other thing is a different shape. So, for example, if you buy Bisli, that's under the Rabbanut of Seirot. So I think this year, Dafka, you should buy it to support Seirot, even though it's only Rabbanut. But if you hold from, it's not Kitnios, but it actually has in it, which almost you can hardly find this, it has matzah meal in it. So obviously Hasidim wouldn't have it. So anyway, those matzah, that's a matzah meal product. So you'll notice that the Bisli, they're different sizes. They're not the regular size. So the same thing, can you stop? So the same, Same thing with Kit Kat. The Kit Kat is, let's say the Kit Kat's normally this size, it's bigger and it's a different color. So people like me don't make the mistake. Right, the wrapper's orange instead of yellow, I don't know, whatever. So, red, thank you, sorry. So, what? Yeah, it's easy, it's actually easy. The wafer is made out of, when the wafer wasn't Kitneos, the years that it was, they have the, what are the other things called that we bought? Afifiyot. They have real wafers. My son says, not this one, that the wafer says the better than any wafer you ever tasted. And it's shahakal. It's amazing. Anyway. So one year we opened up the package and my kid's about to have it and I noticed the color was wrong. And I look at it and it's under the Badatze de Charedis, except it's 100% chametz. So we have to be careful of these types of things. That's chametz mamish. Again, there's a shiloh, what should you do? What do you do on Chol HaMoed when that happens? What should you do with chametz that you find? You really have to burn it. This wasn't so easy because we were at a hotel. So you flush it down the toilet, right? So I thought it was a very easy thing. I gave it as a matana to the Arab cleaning lady. So I told her, and I said, Hasinu isur hamur yishlanu chametz. And she's, shukran. We'll see if it's in the Israel de Tashkanin, or maybe. We'll see that a little bit later in the program. But okay. And then what? That's right. So we know there's an Isser in the Torah, Lo Tashkanin, Lo Tashkanin, Lo Tashkanin, not letting you sell them land, we're not letting them presents for no reason. But if it's a good reason, for example, the rest of Pesach, she cleaned my room like nobody ever cleaned the room. She gave me towels. She told me to take the towels home with me. No, I'm kidding. But I'm saying that. Okay. So let's go back to the pharmacy. So here's a pharmacy question. You have, let's say, something that's vade chametz, something that all the shitas are going to say, it's good tasting, and it's chametz in it. But now you know that this item is needed in emergency situations. Again, I don't know what medicine Rav Zilberstein was talking about, but I'm assuming, whatever. A guy has a heart condition, and he's going to beg me to open, let's say I'm open Chol HaMoed, and he's going to need that product. The problem is, it's chametz. I'm not talking about kidneys, it's chametz. So now, the pharmacy owner obviously can sell something that's a cholo sheyesh basakani, right? Pekuach nefesh mamish, of course you could sell it to him, Rav Zilberstein said. There's no question about it. Again, according to Rav Zilberstein, he dafka didn't sell these items because that may be a little bit more problematic because then you're stealing an item from a guy, right? I don't know. Let's just say this happened, right? Let's say you were to, I don't know how this would happen, but okay, you sell your chametz to a guy and another guy comes over. Or not a guy. Let's say, I don't know, so somebody's having a diabetic, shock, and they need, and you don't have any candy in the house, you don't hold from candy. And you remember, oh, you sold to the guy candy that happened, whatever, it's chum, whatever it is. It's Twizzlers. Mamash is chametz. So you run in, you get into Twizzlers. So you're not really, obviously, that's a problem, you know? So here he says, so here's the only chiddush here. The chiddush is that now the question is, do you be a tzaddik and you just give the guy the stuff for free? No. He says, you can sell it to him for your cost, but nothing more than the cost. If it's a penny more, you're over in a daraisa, right? Because we're not allowed to get hana from chametz. We said last week, there are three isurim that are unique isurim to chametz. Bali Yerali, Bali Matze, hana, right? And we said possibly the on top of the hana itself, there's the meratze, the person who wants it, he's showing by the action that he wants it, even if it's not mitzah chametz. We talked about last week about Ashdod port, the guy's coming, so it shows that obviously he wants it there because he's going to make money. So he gets the container to come. And the last thing is Chomer Shalav Pesach. So he said that, Afilu Chesar Ticha Lo Makam. You could say, well, but listen, I opened the store for you. I did the whole thing. You have to pay me a little bit more. I did something for you. Forget about that. I sold you the chametz. Pay me just for coming in for that day. No, he says nothing. He has to be sure not to take a penny for it. So here's the problem that somebody screamed out as I was screaming out, but he can't hear me on YouTube. I was screaming this out. So I thought this is a problem. You know why? Because every single person in Eretz Yisrael, they have their Mucheder card, their Maccabi card, their, what's the other ones? Whatever. Their Klali card. We're missing one. Thank you. Lumi card. So they give it, and what happens? You don't pay, let's say you don't pay anything, or you pay 10 shekel. Lumi pays you the rest. So they're going to give you a profit. So he says, you got to work it out with them. I don't know. He says, there are abanim who had these, you know, they have poiskim that they have. Mucheder has a poiskim. They actually have Mucheder as a sign. They have like phone numbers you can call the whole week, next week, this week, and ask questions about medicines. They pay for somebody to be on call for that. He said that a person's not allowed to get any hana. He tells a story about, he remembers when he lived in Tel Aviv, on Rothschild Street. He said there was a person who he saw that someone was selling chametz. He was so upset. Let's say, you know, he was selling beers by the beach. So he goes up to the guy and he says, I want to buy all your beer. Give me all the beer. But he says, I'm only going to buy it at cost because I don't want to be over you being over in Isser by making profit on the beer. Like, it was like a weird little thing. And the guy realized that he should, you know, go back on the right path. He said, the Kubat Cholim, I can't answer that question. But he's not going to get any sort of Hana. And therefore, he said, you might have a problem if it's a Chok Medina that the Kubat Cholim is going to take it. He goes, I don't know. You're not going to get Hana from it. Fine. Next question. If already we're talking about an Isser of Hana, so then I have a question for you. If you're not allowed to get Hana, listen to this interesting question. Let's say you're working on Chol HaMoed. Let's say you're a nurse or a doctor. But let's say a nurse. The nurse case is better. So now you're a nurse. This is the Rebbe Zilberstein said he got a call from a woman. She's on call during Chol HaMoed. It's very common, obviously. She's on call in Chol HaMoed. So now she's going to, I'm assuming this is in Chutz La'aretz, right? It has to be in Chutz La'aretz, in America. She's on call in America, and she's going in Chol HaMoed, and now she is going to feed a non-Jew, she's going to help him feed him chametz. Why is it a problem? A goy is allowed to eat chametz. I'm not talking about a Jew. The Jew question would be a really good question. But that wasn't his question. So I don't understand the question. What's the question? She's getting hana. What's the hana? She's getting paid for it. Right? She has she works 8 hours at shift. So she can't just sit around and you know, go on the internet. Right? She can't just watch YouTube, TikTok. Right? She has to work. So part of her work is, one of her jobs as a nurse, she has to feed the people that can't feed themselves. But now she's getting hana because she's feeding this guy. How are you allowed to do that? Says Rav Zilberstein, even not, we've discussed a few weeks ago, that we have something called Mishum Darchei Shalom. We have certain, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, this is based on the Gemara, that we have certain, Rambam, that we have certain things that we are allowed to do, Mishum Darchei Shalom. What does it mean? It's a question in halacha, what it means. But bikur cholim, you're going to do bikur cholim to a Jew, so don't make the guy feel bad. Go visit, not visit him, you don't have to spend all the time and say, Mishra berech v'cholim for him, but you shouldn't just, you know, say, oh, get away, I'm looking for, where's the Jew, right? And that's not nice. So that's number one. Number two would be the following case. The following case would be, let's say you have cholim, you have kivrei mesim, right? You go to a mass casualty event, Rachman al-Islam, and you only see where are the Jews? Or you go to a mass event that there are people sick, and you start screaming out, no, Shema Yisrael, who knows Shema? You don't know Shema Yisrael? Yeah, sorry, you're going, you know, you have to help everybody. We help everybody together. Mishum Darchei Shalom. Rav Zilberstein is a machlikus what it's based on, but he says that's based on Eva because they're going to hate us if we hate them. He goes, and therefore a nurse can't say, I can't feed you chametz. I'm sorry. Here, I have this delicious, Pesach matzah. Here, have the matzah. just give him a matzah sandwich. No, she doesn't have to do that. So that would be mutter in that case because of that. However, this is very weird, but let's say it's a perfect situation. What do I mean by perfect situation? It's from Tuesday, right? I'm saying Chol HaMoed, Tuesday, and then the guy leaves the hospital the last day of Pesach, right? So you only served him the stuff on Pesach itself, and now what happens? As he's leaving, the family comes and goes, wow, you're the greatest nurse we've ever had. Ugh, the Jewish people, they're so lucky to have, you know, like, she gets a great Kiddush Hashem. And he said, oh, we bought you this beautiful gift. I'm not talking about Chametz. Let's say it's not Chametz. We bought you this beautiful gift. So then he says, that's the problem. Why is it a problem? Because he says it's a problem because you're getting hana from serving somebody chametz on Pesach. We talked about the last case was about chametz. So he says this is going to be a big problem. What's the problem going to be? The problem is going to be that you're serving chametz on Pesach. They're not going to do that. Right? You're getting hana. What? I apologize. You know more questions than I do. Go ahead. What's the diaper story? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you very much. Sorry, such a smart kid. So, I'm sorry, don't remember your name. Jonathan said the following thing. He is a very good case. It's a case of Rabbi Willig. You don't mind if I say the name of the person. Rabbi Willig, the great Rosh Hashiva in YU. One of his children was born January 1st. I don't know, you probably hear it. You're Israelis. You don't know what January 1st is. But January 1st is the secular new year. It starts, right? They go, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year. Yeah, okay. It's good. Very good. So they say Happy New Year. So what do they do in hospitals? I don't know why. They have this like competition. Who's going to be the first baby born in 2000? Who's the first baby born? Right. Fine. So his child was the first baby born in some year. And what happens? The first baby born gets a whole gift basket of all these different things. What? In the hospital. So I don't know, you get diapers for a year, you got it. And one of the things he gets, he opens up an envelope, and it's a $500 gift certificate to Pita Luga. Pita Luga is like one of the top beautiful, amazing steakhouses. I think it's in Queens, maybe. I forgot where it is. So he says, great, I can't eat there, obviously. Pita Luga is not kosher yet. And I feel that all restaurants will be kosher one day. And listen, I grew up, M&M's wasn't kosher, Oreos wasn't kosher. You know, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave me the service types of shoes from the Chameis. So anyway, new Viter. So what happened? So he says, I'll give it to my housekeeper. Now, we just told you before, there's an Isra of Losas Chane. Chanina Bakarka, remember we said? That's not Usar. You know why that's not Usar? That's not Usar because that's only if there is no, you're just doing it for no reason. You're just giving a guy a present. But if I'm giving the guy the present because he's my cleaning lady and I want her to stay as the cleaning lady, because he's my sanitation engineer and he's not going to pick up the garbage if I'm not nice, because he's the whatever, the mailman and I want him to mail me. I told you the story a few weeks ago. This was a story about the garbage man. We forgot it was Christmas was coming up and we forgot to give him the money. And every single day he made us realize he took our cans and he threw them across the street. So then we said, oh, it must be Christmas is coming up. Fine. So, Lo Sechanin, in America, of course, Lo Sechanin doesn't apply. So he could give her the Pita Luga, except for one problem. He called Pita Luga, and they told him, he said, what do you sell here? They said, we only sell steak. We're a steakhouse. So he said, okay, no problem. The Isra or no, we said, applies to Pesach, Avodah Zarah, and Basar V'Chalav. They said, every single steak that we make, we dip in butter first. That's the only thing we sell here, is butter. So that's Isra Hana. So now he couldn't give it to her. He said, "It's hard to believe they don't sell a vegetarian salad." Or you don't have to be machmen and say to her, "I'm giving you this gift certificate. Don't get Basar V'Chalav." Right? You can give a gift certificate to somebody at the McDonald's. And, okay, so whatever. So this, I guess, would be the similar case. She said, "Yeah, Mustama, exactly. It's not such a great case, right? That's like with Rev Zilberstein when they were screaming at him. It's like, you know, don't ask Shilas on a story, right? You're right." Right. I'm sure if somebody said, I'm allergic to butter, I'm not going to be like, nope, we don't do it. There are certain times, like we went to Reuben once, and we said, oh, can we have the sandwich without onions? There was a kid in my family, I'm not going to mention any names. He doesn't eat onions. And they say, no, you can't. I couldn't believe it. They have, no, you can't. And we're like, what? No, we can't. Why? Because everything's pre-made. They make it in the big Reubens. The big Reubens in...
Which Reuben was it?
Beit Shemesh, yeah. No, they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't. They were mean. So I don't know. Whatever. It was pre-made. Who knows what? So yeah, Baruch Hashem. So yeah. So the same thing over here. It wouldn't be appropriate to accept the gift because that gift was that. Okay. So now the next case is a very, very important case because that comes to a very interesting case about selling chametz. I think we discussed last week about the selling of chametz. There are a lot of people. I think Rabbi Agnew already started the selling of chametz. I see a pen here, so he does that, yeah, and I see his, yeah, yeah. So he already did the selling of chametz. So what's the selling of chametz? So how are you allowed to sell the chametz? The truth is, it's Toseftim Pesachim. A person's stuck, quote-unquote, on a boat, and he's got all this chametz. But let's say we back to our Ashkelon case, right? Let's say the guy, you know, unfortunately took the wrong route, and he's passing the Houthis, right? And unfortunately, he got, you know, hijacked and delayed and da-da-da. And then finally, his ship is coming in. What does the ship have in it? All chametz. All whiskey that's chametz. I don't know. Jack Daniels, whatever's chametz, yeah? Beers, whatever it is. So now he's in trouble now. Pesach is going to start. Besides the fact Pesach is going to start, he's got no food. Okay, whatever. Right? So what does he do? So the Tosefta says, very good. They're all goyim on the ship. He should sell all the stuff. And after Pesach is over, you can buy it back from them. That became this very famous thing of quote unquote selling our chametz, right? So, even though the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Beis Yosef all say the selling of chametz is mutter, even though it's a harama. What's the word harama mean? Harama means it's a bit of a trick. It's a scheme. It's to avoid the iser. We're getting around it. Now we do this a lot. Actually, we have something called a heter iska, which allows businesses / banks, right? If you go to the bank over here, Bank of Poland, they have a big sign on the wall signed by the chief rabbi of Israel, Harav David Lau, and it says that it's called a heter iska. It allows us to, because it's called a corporation, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's famous heter, and therefore ribis, it would be mutter. It's not really ribis because you do a heter iska, so it's not a mortgage in the same way, whatever. So the same thing. And some people, of course, rely on the heter of the heter mechira, which is selling it to a guy. Again, how serious is it? That's the harama. How serious is the sale of your chametz in your house? So there are those people who say, I will never, ever sell chametz. Why? Because it's harama. It's a joke. Even though it's, I admit it's harama, it's a little bit of, you know, it doesn't make so much sense because we do this every year, and every year, surprisingly, right after Pesach, what happens? You get all your chametz back that you have downstairs in your basement, but it seems to be mutter. It's mutter. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, as I said, fine. The Bechor Shur says, well, he thinks this is based on a Meforish Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says it's okay. Why? Because it's only a Midarabanan. Why is it Midarabanan? It's a Doraisa. He says, no, we Mevatel our Chametz. In fact, we Mevatel our Chametz twice. We call our Chametz Afra Da'ara, right? And you're not going to be over in Bal Yirai Bal Yimatza anyway because you got rid of it some way. It's hidden somewhere. So therefore, it's Mutter. And therefore, it's okay to do, right? And he says, this is based on the Gemara in Shabbos. This is based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Tes, I believe, Amud Beis, speaks about Chametz, right? He says, when it comes to Chametz Rabbanan, so it would be Mutter. It talks about a person who's on a boat, and it's a very weird case, the Gemara in Shabbos. The guy's sleeping on a boat, and he's on the boat. He's going to sleep on the boat, and he really does go to sleep. But he knows that the boat is going to sail, and when he wakes up, turns out he's going to be in Hawaii. Shkoyach, you know? So they say that's called the harama. You're not allowed to do that. But because it's only in a Siddur Rabbanan, we let him do it. And the Bechor Shor says, that's my raya. The Makor Chaim picks up on this and says, what are you talking about? Because that's a special circumstance. He goes, in our case, it's not allowed. He said he was already doing an Isser. He was the Talmud Chacham. So, okay, so we matered it for him. But it's not allowed. And in fact, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter writes that Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, did not like the sale except for what's called chametz be'ein. Chametz be'ein is a mixture of chametz. So we have a lot of things in our house, probably most of the things we have in our house, are not actual chametz, right? They are actual chametz, but they're mixtures of chametz. Oh, mixtures of chametz, I'm not as worried about. Why? Mixtures of chametz, so that maybe I could sell. But chametz mamish, right? Pretzels, your pasta, that's for sure, usher. So you could take anything that has a little bit of chametz, or even maybe a majority of the mixture, Rav Soloveitchik says, that doesn't matter. But as long as it's a mixture, so let's take what's a good example of a mixture? Any food item that has a lot of different things in it and has some wheat in it as well. Right? Not a pretzel, because a pretzel is all wheat. That's the basis of it, is wheat. But you have a chocolate bar, and it has a little bit of a cookies and cream in it. You know, cookies and cream. Okay, there are cookies in it. Maybe that's considered good, or certainly mixtures of food items that have a little bit of chametz. There are people who only will sell chametz bay, only things that have a little bit of it in it. It's a good idea. All the poskim say it's a good idea to sell your chametz anyway, because sometimes you think you're smarter from Hashem. I did my first year of marriage. We decided to not sell our chametz. We didn't decide, sorry. I decided. I said to my wife, we just got married. Come on, we don't have a lot of chametz. We're a poor family. So what do we have? So I proceeded to call the OU and ask them all these questions, and they were not forthwith in answering the questions because they thought that I just wanted to know what was chametz. So for example, I don't know, somebody bought us at our wedding Godiva chocolate liqueur. Oh, this beautiful Godiva. So I saw it, and I said, corn syrup, so you don't have to sell corn syrup, just kidding you. So I said, is there real chametz? He says, yes, there is. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I just don't want to sell my chametz, whatever. So sometimes you can make a big mistake, and you say, oh my God, I forgot the whiskey bottle that I had. That's a bad idea. I think it was in somebody else's freezer. I think it was in my mother-in-law's freezer. Yeah, they sold it, yeah. By the way, that's also a disgusting idea to do. I had friends who said this. I don't want to sell my chametz, but I know you are, so I'm going to give you some of my stuff. That's really harama. I don't even know about that. I don't like that at all. So mixtures. So maybe mixtures are okay because if you look at Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Soloveitchik says that's really Rav Shechter writes this in Nefesh HaRav. That's really going to be midirabanan because it's only mixtures, and maybe we can make by mixtures. They're only midirabanan. However, it's important to point out. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Yalkut Yosef, all say that you're allowed to sell full chametz. You're allowed to sell full chametz. There's no problem with selling full chametz. It's true that people are me'id that Rav Moshe Feinstein would get rid of all of his chametz, but he would sell whiskey that he had. He had alcohol that was worth a lot of money, and therefore. One could also argue that the whole reason why we sell chametz is huge quantities of chametz, right? Your own yesh. Right, you own Rami Levy of Ramat Beit Shemesh that just opened, right? So what? So now Nebuch, they opened on Erev Pesach. Now they have 10,000 shekel, 5,000, 50,000 shekel of chametz, or Rami Levy himself. So what is he going to do now? He's going to That's a real loss, mamish. So some people say that's for the real loss. Okay, Rav Moshe, I'm sure he didn't have booze that was totaling thousands and thousands of dollars, but he said that would be mutter. And he said that Yalchut Yosef says that the only thing that he said that would be usher for a person to do is that a person should not dafka buy chametz now, let's say the pizza store. So the pizza store says, ooh, we're going to pre-make, this is interesting, because the Yalchut Yosef says this, and I think everybody violates this. I'm assuming, I could be wrong about this, for some reason, I don't know what the relationship is, but every single pizza store, everybody wants pizza on Motzei Pesach. There used to be a famous, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik told me this, that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to make Kiddush on beer to show the chashivas of chametz. Meaning what? The whole week, I want to show you, I wanted to have chametz all the time. What do you think? I like this disgusting matzah pizza? I don't want to eat that matzah pizza. I want real chametz. So maybe we're like Rav Chaim. We don't run to get beer and make havdalah on beer. But what do? We run to get pizza Motzei Pesach. It's like the biggest thing. I think I said this last week. I have a friend who works, one of my coworkers works in one of the Pesach programs. And he said he was offered $1,000 to get the first pie of pizza. It was like chutzpah. But yeah, it's a thing to get the first pie. So now what do all the pizza stores do? There's no way they'll be able to make pizza. So what do? They pre-make all the pies a week before. I think what the Yalchut Yosef is saying, they put the cheese on it, they make the dough. He says, that's not such a good thing. Or, let's say you went today to Rami Levi, you go, oh my God, I can't believe this. They're selling osem pasta, delicious osem pasta, for one shekel each. Why? Because they want to get rid of it. So now you're going to be the guy, I mean the Jew, that buys it. Right? That's a little bit problematic. Of course, Rabbi Soloveitchik said in his year, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, by the way, there's no chiyuv, there's no hider mitzvah for you to sell your chametz. Meaning, if you can get rid of your chametz, you should get rid of your chametz. Give it to Laman Achai. Like, I don't understand. Laman Achai is a person should do. What? No, Laman Achai doesn't. I'll explain that in a second, after your question.
If you sell it, because
you
don't want the goy to walk into your house and
they'll be in... So you think it's haramah. You think it's harama. You're a harama guy. You think the whole thing's fake. Because now it happens to be that when you sell your chametz, Rav Bachner requests who has your key, or how do we get in, or what's your phone number, and if you're going to be away, he says who has your key. So you have to give him. You have to write on the form the neighbor, so the guy could see where to get it. Yeah, I know you might not like that, but it would be mutter. You have to be somebody who really believes, and this is the case where we're gonna maybe end with tonight, but that's exactly the thing, is that this is, we need to define the word harama.
But now, if a goy walks into your house, you're going to get annoyed.
So what? But he owns the chametz.
That's the point.
And if my goy worker comes into my house on a cholam, I'd be bored. So he said, but this is the only time I'm going to fix your thing, whatever, whether that's allowed or not, whatever. So I don't know, whatever. Okay, so that wasn't good timing, but you got to let him in. You have to let him in. What did you say? I'm sorry, I was going to give you a case. No, you had said something before. So Laman Achai, I'm sure, has a heter. What a Laman Achai does is that they bought a storehouse. This will be our next question. They own a storehouse of right, whatever it's called, a machsan, or as my mother-in-law calls it, a machsan. They have a machsan, and they put out the why. Because to them, they're a stucco organization. They're feeding the poor people of the world. And I'm sure they got a heter that even though exactly they're doing what the Yalchut Yosef says you can't do, but to help poor people, so I think that would be a fair heter. So now here's the case.
It's
not harama.
No, it's not harama, but you're owning chametz.
Purposely owning chametz. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question.
I think the way to do it is just have your owner be a guy, and then he's allowed to own all of it anyway.
Right, so you have, it's interesting, you have places, when I grew up as a kid, so there were supermarkets, we spoke last week about Chametz Shalav HaPesach, there were supermarkets that you couldn't go to after Pesach. Why? Key Food was my example. It was owned by a Jew. And every year, the Jew, literally, would sell chametz to a rabbi, and he would lie to the rabbi, or whatever. He would tell the rabbi, no, wink, wink, like, I'm going to be open anyway, Pesach. So there's a whole machloikis, if you want to call it machloikis. I think the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that maybe you could shop at that place after Pesach. Why? When he sold the chametz, for sure the moment he sold the chametz, he thought he was going to be closed all Pesach. Come on, that's harama. He's not really going to do that. Oh, the whole thing's a trick. Rav Soloveitchik said it's a joke. You can't. What? He sold chametz because he knows that the Jews want. They look for the sign. So when Mr. Keyfood realized that nobody was shopping there, he went to one of the rabbis of the community, Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky, and he said, what's going on here? And they told him. So he said, okay, tell me what I need to do. So you know what he did? He sold the entire store to a guy. What is a guy? One of his managers of the store. And he said to him, they made some form. And the form said, your pay that you get the whole year, you're getting it the week of Pesach. I mean, he's going to make so much more money. And we're going to split. Whatever. So, okay. And he didn't go into the store with all Pesach. That would be mutter. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. So here's the case. Right, right. It's a corporation. Very good, very good. Rev Motion's corporation. Good. It's not owned by anybody. Yeah. I'd be happy to ask Rabbi Leventhal. If I'm sure he thought about this, and he's got some amazing heter from some amazing Rabbi Haber, Rabbi Soloveitchik, probably. That's what I would think. Okay, so here's the question of Rav Zilberstein. There's a storehouse where you keep all of your stuff, right? Let's say you own, Rami Levi, right? You own whatever. Give me the biggest chametz, whatever, okay? So you sell Osem, but I'm just going to... Right. Osem, but right. So let's say it's Osem. It's kosher to Pesach. So Osem, which I just found out, is in Sderot. So Sderot, they put an entire storehouse, a huge machzan of all their chametz. So that's not in the because they may even be open in Chol HaMoed. Okay, and they have it there. I'm saying this purposely. Why I'm saying a machzan? You'll see in a moment. And all of a sudden, what happens? A fire breaks out. Right, all the promises from Bibi Netanyahu, there'll be no missiles. I don't know. A missile directly hits the Nebuch Lo Aleinu, directly hits the Osem factory. Baruch Hashem, nobody's injured, but there's a big fire there. So now what's the problem? What do you care? It's not your chametz. So now, right, there's an Isser Hana here. So wait. So now, what do? I see there's a big fire. So what do? Right, I call the fire department. I say my not my chametz. Sorry, the guy's chametz. The guy's chametz. There's a big sign that says Osem on it, and Dr. Osem himself. I don't know his name. Dr. Osem himself. Right. So he a person's over in Isadaraisa. So why is he over in Isadaraisa? This is where Rabbi Zilberstein was like. So they're saying to him, what? You can't call the fire department anyway. He goes, no. Why are you calling the fire department? The question is, would you call the fire department anyway? Right. So I would think most of us would. It depends. You don't know. You're not on my block. Some of my neighbors I won't call. So, no, I'm serious. Some of my neighbors are annoying. By the way, when it comes to Shabbos, are you allowed to call the fire? So the Gemara clearly says you're not allowed to put out the fire. That was talking about the days where, the houses were like miles apart. There were farms. There were all of that. Nowadays, you're 100% right. It's going to harm people. People could die. There's electrical things. 100%. The question is, if the guy owned the house, what do you care? Would you say anything? That's the question. I think most normal people, this is why I humbly disagree with Rav Zilberstein. Of course you would. First of all, we spoke before about Ava. My neighbor's going to come, let's say it was really owned by a non-Jew. He's going to come to my house and he says, what a bad neighbor. You didn't smell the fire? I go, yeah, I smelled the fire. What do I care? I thought it was a barbecue. I don't care. So what is he going to do? The next time he's not going to call for me. So that's Ava. I think that's not Pasha. Yeah. I agree.
Isn't the going now Shomer Chinam like you're paying him, right? You're paying him?
No, it's not yours anymore. He bought it from you. You're not paying him anything. You sold it to him.
You sold it to him. It's not yours.
No, you didn't ask to get it back. That's only after Pesach. You said, do you want to buy it back from me?
The food's not rented.
That's a problem. So he says that's an Issa Daraisha. I don't know. He said, because he says, you're only doing it because you care so much about your thing, because you think it's yours. I don't know. So he says, so how about this? Can you daven to the Rabbanu Sholem that there shouldn't be so much damage here? Again, I'll get to it. So he says, no, you daven to the Rabbanu Sholem that should return your parnasa. That's what he said. He says, you can't. A few of his followers, he says, you can't. He says, you shouldn't mispalo that should put the fire out. Again, I'm assuming nobody's going to get injured. Your stuff is going to burn. It's not your stuff anymore. Shkoyach. He's nervous about harama. Clearly, says Rav Zilberstein, we're not talking in case of any sort of sakana at all. That's not what we're talking about. Oh, so now here's the question. Now the whole thing's over. Let's give the better case so you don't get all upset at me. He doesn't even know about it. Nebuch, he comes in the morning, and Mahmud, who he sold the chametz to, says, oh, salam alaykum barakat. Ida fayid bazam alaykum, right? Ramadan Karim, and he says, listen, I'm really sorry, there's a fire last night and all your chametz burnt down. Oh, okay. That's what he says to him. So now, ready for this one? Can I call the insurance company and get the money?
You're not paying for insurance.
Who's
I own the machzan.
You know, okay, so what are you getting?
So now, very good. So now they call me, the insurance company calls me, and they say, well, the structure was 100,000 shekels. It was a little machs of nothing. So do you have anything else in it? We'll pay for anything that's in it. So now the question is, can you say, I didn't have anything in it? Mahmoud had this. Had
you have to.
So he said, he thinks that Zemegal Dato Shelo Rotze Limkor. It shows that I didn't want to sell because I want all my money back now.
Anyway,
that is harama, like we spoke about before. It's totally us, sir. What? What's the tonight? You're not selling it on tonight. No tonight. He knows that I might come back later on. That's fine, but that's not. I'm not selling it tonight. Then you have a problem, and you own it. So he told the case of a bacher in the Mir Yeshiva who came through of Zilberstein, and he said the father. I don't even want to get into this so much. I don't know what the deal is. I'm assuming this was legal. The father is selling 20% of his business to his son. Why? He says, because you're an Eretz Yisrael this year. So because you're an Eretz Yisrael, the foreign blah, blah, blah tax won't apply. I'll save 20% on taxes. I'm assuming this is totally legal. So the son says, okay, Abba, I don't care. He says, and just know, like, you don't really own, like, you don't really own 20% of my company, but I have to tell you this because you have to sign all these forms. So the son signs the forms and he realizes, oh my God, my father's not from Pesach. I technically own 20% of the chametz. So he says, yeah, 100% you do. He said, you're not allowed to do that. 100%. You can't fake own something. You own it. So he says, but, I love Rav Zilberstein because he admits it. And he says, but, I asked Rav Elyashev, and he says, when it comes to bituach, when it comes to insurance, it's mutter. Because that is a, it's a what do you call it? Because that's a kesef case. That's a case of maso moton. That's a case of, you know, that's not, you don't have to worry about that in terms of chametz.
From the insurance to the guy?
No. So he says no. Again, it's interesting. So I would say that's very interesting. So he doesn't have to tell him who, maybe that's the idea. I don't have to tell him who owned it at the time. Oh, I had this whole sale that I did. I don't want to explain it to you. You know, imagine you're in America now. You're trying to explain to him, oh, you know, the week of Pesach and Passover. And so what? I thought Passover was when Easter. No, this year because we had a leap year and blah, 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 and the solar eclipse and the earthquake. And okay. No. So now what do? So now you're correct. So now you get all the money. You call the guy back and say, listen, this is really your money. But can I buy it back for a dollar? Okay, maybe. Rav Zilberstein doesn't say this. But Rav Yosef says you could totally take it back without a question. That's not us, sir, because it's just a business deal. Very interesting, because we assume that maybe you can't. But he says 100% that would be mutter. What do you mean? How do you get insurance money? No, he's getting... Right, the question is, this guy purchased it for a very small amount of money, so now he's going to get it back. So now you're going to say to him, oh, I want to buy it back from you, and I'm going to give you $1,000, but you really got $10,000. I don't know, maybe some way. But Rav Zilberstein doesn't say you have to do that. He doesn't say you have to do that. Right, so along the same case, he said, he gave this as a new case. He says, would you be able to daven that the Goy's warehouse doesn't burn down because you have something in there that's yours, that's chametz. So he says, why wouldn't that be a haram? It shows that your joke was a sale. The sale was a joke. He says that's a tefillah lo toiva. That sometimes we say you shouldn't. You're davening for chametz. So he says, a person shouldn't do that.
Unless you're davening for the building.
Right. So that's why I said Dafka wasn't the store. It wasn't Rami Levy's store. Because then I could say, what am I davening for? The cash registers. I'm davening for the shopping carts. That you're allowed to daven for. Those are not chametz things. So the warehouse, you're saying you're davening for the structure itself. I don't know why nobody screamed that out. I was thinking the same thing. Why can't you just say that? But so then he says, then it's lo sukhanin. Why do you care? Okay. I don't know.
Your warehouse?
You, no. So that's exactly my question. I'm just making it up. But let's just say that the case was, it's a warehouse that you're renting anyway. So you're losing zero from this. You're losing zero. So that's the question, right? If you had something of monetary, that's why I said it's not a store. Rav Zilberstein's case, he told about a store. But I think he's totally wrong about the store. Somebody did scream out. They said, what about the cash registers are there? There's stuff in the store that's mutter, right? It's a good question nonetheless. But again, this harama part is a very, very important part of Mechiras Chametz. We'll move now to our section of question and answer.